Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 566, it's another one of our top 10 episodes, a republished version of my conversation with Dr. John Townsend.
When you've had to set limits and you want to get close again, then you re-engage with the person and you say, I want to try again, but I want to be as good a friend as I can be or a good adult daughter as I can be, but things have got to change on your end too. And if they say, I have no intent of changing, you're the problem. What they're saying is there's nothing new to trust. Love is free, but trust is earned. We've got to remember that. Love is free as you know, air, but trust is earned. So if they go, no, I'm going to stay the way I am, I don't have to change, then they're telling you, keep the boundaries. Yeah. Because I don't want to change my behaviors.
Dr. Townsend co-authored a New York Times best-selling book that's been around for so long and one of the top books every person should read before they're 25. It's called Boundaries. He co-wrote it with Dr. Cloud. And he's written over 30 books since then. He is a business consultant. He's a leadership coach and he's a psychologist. And a lot of the people in my community have gone through his Townsend Institute for Leadership. They have been a part of ongoing, they're called TLP, Townsend Leadership Programs. And even the life team that I'm a part of once a month is based on his programs. And this episode was recorded back in 2019. Since that time, I've had the privilege of getting to sit under Townsend's teaching and get to know him in person well. And so that reminds me that I need to have him back on. But this episode was so enjoyed by y'all. It's one of our top five episodes. I think it's number three or four of most downloaded episodes. And I know why. As moms, we are the life support system for our kids and keeping our families healthy. We need to be healthy. And a key part of our overall well-being is setting healthy boundaries. But this is challenging and often misunderstood. And sometimes boundaries are weaponized. And I think that even the heart of the book and what Townsend and Cloud intended has been misused by people. And so I'm grateful to get to share straight from the author and psychologist, how do we have these uncomfortable direct conversations that are actually about preserving relationship and preserving health and guarding our own hearts? And how do we do this? How do we set limits with family? How do we keep healthy boundaries for the holidays? Or in this episode, he's going to model how to have a tough conversation with a parent about a boundary. I think I play a mother-in-law. I'm trying to remember correctly. All of that is in here and more. Please check out the show notes with so many great resources, including those relational nutrients that come from the book we talk about here, People Fuel, which is something, again, I use in multiple groups I'm a part of, not only recognizing what you're feeling, but what do you need from others? How do you clarify what you need from the people around you so you get fueled in the way that helps you keep going? All right, let's get right to it. Here we go.
Dr. Townsend, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Hi, Heather.
It's good to have you on here. I feel honored that you would take time to chat with our community about so many important topics. But today, boundaries with our parents and in-laws, and as moms who are so depleted anyway, how we stay filled and whole and manage this well. So thank you for taking time today.
You're welcome.
So I reached out to listeners and received over 80 questions for you. We don't have that much time.
We need boundaries on our time now.
We need lots of boundaries. So I know not everyone has had a chance to read your fantastic books on boundaries. I know you have another book coming out. Would you take a second and give us a 101 on the philosophy behind boundaries and where that came from before we get into this a little deeper?
Heather, the concept on a, you said 101, which is a really good way to describe it, level really comes from the Bible. You know, people say, well, you're a psychologist. You make all this stuff up. No. This started a long time before psychology. If you go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, for example, Solomon says, guard your heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. And what he's saying there is that you've got to take care of your energy and your heart, your emotions, You got to take care of your self-care and your health and work out. You've got to have time for you. If you don't guard that heart, well, then the wellsprings of life won't come out from it. And when you think about the dilemma of a mother who is like a life support system for kids, if she's not guarding her heart and saying no when she needs to say no, and not being as available as she needs to be for other people, and to be not allow bad treatment, then she won't have the wellsprings of life for her children.
Right.
So boundaries are basically about how to set healthy, loving limits in our life so we have something to offer to our children.
That's good. I think we really struggle with the how. The balancing act, which I don't really love the word balance, but between giving and being quote unquote good Christian people who give and selfishly serve and put up with different harder people. And yet, like you said, guard ourselves from future more pain and hurt. And some people would say, is it even biblical? And I love that you pointed right to that verse.
Well, if you go to the book, you've got 300 passages in the book. I mean, the book's, you know, 27 years old.
Yeah.
It's been a bestseller forever. I wrote it when I was like 8 years old. And when people say, well, is this biblical? I say, have you read the book? And they go, no. I say, check out the 300 passages and come talk to me. That kind of changes things for them. So,
yeah.
I mean, when we talk about like, so what's the how here? God's how is basically this. Go to Matthew 5 and Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I have a job to do as a parent. Your audience has a job to do as moms, which says I've got to take care of, you know, my children. I am everything for them, but I've also got relationships and family and a job maybe. So I've got to get filled up, as God says in Matthew 5, so that I can get have the wherewithal to give to others. And if I allow either controlling people or toxic people or people that have more needs than I can meet in my life, then I can't get filled up. It's like saying, well, I got to go drive 400 miles, but I have a gas tank that only has 200 miles in it.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I've got to get enough gas in my tank for energy and love and support and all that, which means I've got to set boundaries in myself with my own schedule, as well as in my relationships. So it really becomes an easier thing. The how on a conceptual level is easy. Oh yeah, I got to get my tank filled so I can give to whatever God says. But the real problem is then those particular situations with people that are difficult for us. That's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah. So talk us through that. How do we firmly set these boundaries without being hurtful?
Yeah, it's a great question, Heather, because I don't believe that's possible.
Mm. Mm.
And let me tell you why. There's a difference between hurting someone and harming someone.
Oh.
You know, the Bible says in so many ways, we're supposed to hurt each other. Go to the Bible, where David says, my friend smites me, that's a favor to me. Speak the truth and love to one another. We're supposed to be making each other, you know, I'm a psychologist. I study all the research on this. We're supposed to be disrupting each other at different times. And if all we have is people that are do nothing but say positive stuff to us and we say positive stuff to them and we never tell them the truth, we're going to get sick and they're going to get sick. But hurt is very different than harm. When we harm someone, we damage them.
Mm-hmm.
We make them lose faith or it causes bad things to happen to them. So when you say, well, how do I set limits in a way that people will love it? I haven't found that out.
That's good.
When my wife and my friends set limits with me, it hurts my feelings. And I go, well, that was a bummer. So I talked too much at the party last night. But it helped me. It didn't harm me. So let's get out of the idea that people have got to say, wow, please, Heather, give me more boundaries. This is great stuff. It'll never happen.
Yeah.
Just like your kids never say, hey, thank you for putting me in timeout. Can you do that more? But we know it hurts them, but it doesn't harm them. So we don't want to harm people. But the idea is, how can we do it in a healthy way? And if they're a healthy person, they'll go, you know, bummer. Sorry, you can't make it to dinner with me. Sorry, you can't be on my board. Sorry, you can't have lunch with me. Bummer, we'll do it another time. That's a healthy person response to our boundaries. An unhealthy response is, well, I thought you loved me and I need you and I need you in my life all the time. They're telling you I might not be the right person. So I'm changing the paradigm a bit here, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I think that's super, super helpful. Super helpful, because we can't wait until someone's not upset with us.
There you go.
Yeah. And someone asked, how do we balance that honoring your father and mother command with these healthy boundaries? How do we honor and yet protect ourselves and our family from potential harm that a parent or an in-law could be causing?
There's a very simple solution to this, and it's not easy, but it's simple, Heather.
Okay.
The Bible says children obey your parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
It also says adults honor your parents, but it never tells us once I'm a functioning adult that I must obey my parents, I must honor them. So then what does honor mean? Well, honor means respect them and be thankful for the things that they did that were right, mm-hmm. and take their opinions into consideration. That's what honor means. And in the Old Testament, the word honor means just to give weight to. But it never says obey them. So if my parents, and I'm 27 years old, let's say, and my parents are saying, well, we need to see you 3 times a week, or we need to you spend X amount of time with them, I'll take that consideration, but I'm making choices. So that's how we keep the balance. I honor, but I don't obey. I obey God.
That's really helpful. So how do you handle if you attempt to say what you just said, and you let them know I'm processing through it? And like you had mentioned previously, they may not be mature enough or whole enough or healthy enough, whether it's narcissism or addiction or something, that they laugh at your boundaries or they dismiss your boundaries.
Then maybe they don't have some big clinical thing like narcissism, or maybe they're just immature and maybe they're dependent. So they don't have to be shrink worthy to be a kind of a problem.
Mm-hmm. So how does this person who's asking move forward? If they're attempting to set the boundaries, they're doing it in the least harmful way they can, and yet it's not being respected.
Well, the best way to understand it is that I'm always supposed to care about that person because we're called to care. I want their best. I may not be able to provide their best, but I don't want them to be harmed. So I come in with that mentality. And then I decide what I can give, and I give those things helpfully, maybe I can spend 5 minutes with them right then, or maybe I can go on a vacation. But I have to give what I can give out of my resources because I'm a mom and I have to put my resources in other priorities. And then I have to have directness and say, no, that's not okay with me. That doesn't work for me. You know, Heather, when I speak around the country on these matters, and what really is cool, and people kind of get the light switch comes on for them, is when I do a role play.
Mm.
And I'll just say, look, I'll be the healthy Heather, and you be that person that, you know, somebody wrote to you a question.
Yeah.
And you be that person who is a difficult mom or dad or whatever about something. And I'll walk through in about 2 minutes that conversation so people can see how to do it. So let's figure out a scenario.
Okay.
What's a scenario where there's kind of a crazy mom or dad and you're a mom, you're yourself or a mom trying to do everything right, but this mom or dad is something you want to stop. What are they doing? Are they being controlling? Are they want too much time? Are they too critical? What are they doing that you want to stop?
I mean, I'm trying to get in the mindset because I don't have any parents that live nearby, so it's harder for me. But some of the examples had to do with if someone lived in proximity, having an expectation of a lot of time coming over.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
And you don't have that much time. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. So now here's how we're going to do it. When I do that, I don't do that on the fly. I'm Beth Smith. I'm one of your faithful Heather listeners, right? And Beth lives close to her parents. She loves them, but they want oodles of time, and she just doesn't have that much time. But she feels bad and guilty, like she's not being a good adult daughter. And so, the first thing you do, you don't do it when you're like sitting in a movie or like having dinner. You don't do these like, oh, by the way,
yeah.
you have to have a meeting, and you have to say. So now you just said, hey, I want to talk to you about something important. And you want to do it in person because if they live in another country, you can, but you said they live close. So you want to do it, but you have an appointment with them. Let's go have coffee or let's go meet at your house. You know, I just want to talk over some matters with you. So now it's dedicated and it's in a good place and the kids aren't running around and there's not a lot of distractions. So you can really concentrate on the relationship. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
All right. So I'm going to be Beth, the healthy Beth, and you're going to be Beth's mom, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, honey.
How are you doing? Everything good these days?
Oh, you know, I'm just so lonely.
I know. And I have been praying for you and hoping you'll find some friends and all that. I really do want you to be happier. Can I tell you about why I wanted to meet with you, Mom?
Sure.
Well, you know, I love you and I want us to always be close. And by the way, Mom, if I ever am not a great Beth daughter to you, if I alienate you in some way, or if I bother you, or if I'm sort of not a loving daughter, I hope you feel free to tell me. I always want to be a great daughter to you. Do you feel free to give me some guidance sometimes when I need to be better?
Well, if you want that, Beth, then yes, I do. I feel that freedom.
Thank you, because I do want it, and I love you, and I need that from you. Okay, and I would like to feel permission to also address things that could be improved in our relationship from my vantage point as well. Is that okay with you as well?
Well, I mean, are you going to hurt my feelings?
I don't know, Mom. If I have an issue, would you rather me not speak up about it at all then? Or?
Well, I don't know if we need to talk about it then, because, I mean, I don't like being sad.
Okay. What if it's something that's getting in the way between our closeness? That it might be a little bit uncomfortable, but it would bring more closeness. Would that be okay?
Well, I mean, I just don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to cause problems.
Well, the problem is I want to solve a problem. I want to solve a problem that I've been feeling between us that's pushing me away from you.
Well, I have some problems too I'd like to talk about. I mean, you say you're going to come over and then you cancel and I invite you and you never come. And I mean, Betsy's daughter is always over at her house and she asks her to watch her kids and they go to coffee more than we ever do. And I just don't feel like you love me like Betsy's daughter loves her.
I am so glad you brought that up, Mom. Thank you. I really even feel better about our conversation because that's what I want to talk about. So the thing that you're concerned about, I have an issue about too. So let's do this. Let me tell you what my issue is that I called the meeting for. And then maybe if we have time, we'll talk about your end. If we don't have time, you know, we'll talk next week about your issue. Can we go in turn like that? Does that sound fair?
Sure.
Thanks, Mom. The issue is that I love you and want, I'm so glad we live in proximity and I want a relationship forever. But I think the reality is that I don't have as much time as you would like me to have for me to do my priorities, which are the kids and the family. I don't have as much, and I need to have a better frequency of meeting with you that's more healthy. So I want to solve that so we can be close.
Well, I think you need to say no to other people before me. I mean, I am your mother. I brought you into this world.
Now, all right, T.O., is Mom a believer? I'll either go the research route or I'll go the Bible route. What kind of mom we got here?
I don't know. Jeez. I don't know. Let's say we got a lot of questions about if the parents aren't believers, so let's go that route.
Well, Mom, I appreciate it. But, you know, as I look at the research about parenting, because I've been doing some, you know, really good studies about what great health is and great parenting and great growth is, I do certainly want to make you a priority because you delivered me and you're a wonderful mom. But I can't be your sole source of life support anymore. I want to be one of them, but you need other friends. And so my priorities really are my kids and my family. And honestly, Mom, I don't have another way to say this. They're a higher priority than you are because they're my life and they're the ones I give life to. Can you accept that they are a higher priority?
No, I cannot understand that. We came all this way, moved all the way here to be close to you. I don't have other friends. I gave my whole life to raising you. And this is how you treat me?
Yeah.
Just complete disregard. You don't care anything about me. You never want to be with me. And now you're telling me you want even less time with me.
Well, maybe there's a compromise here, Mom, because I don't want you to feel like that. I think the solution is for me to tell you what I can give you, how many lunches or dinners or visits I can give you in a month. And I would do that wholeheartedly to really be attentive to you and do things that are fun for you and have lots of laughs for you. How many of those visits I can do a month and also for you to get a bunch of other friends. I think that's a win-win. Would you be open to that at all?
Well, I just don't even know if I want to even talk about it anymore. If you don't want to be with me, I'm not going to make you be with me.
Okay. Mom, where did you hear me say I don't want to be with you?
Well,
I think
you're telling
four or five times.
You want to just regulate it and put me on your calendar like a doctor's appointment.
Mom, do you remember when you had me and you had my two sisters and you had a busy life? You had that charity you're involved with. You were a working mom. You had social events and you made it work. And I don't think it was all sort of organic whoop-de-doo. I think you had to schedule and structure yourself because momming is a big thing. I want to be as good a mom as you were. So, yeah, there's a structure to it, but that doesn't mean that you can't have closeness and fun within the structure. Would you be open to, you know, me giving you an idea of how often I can see you then?
I just don't think I can talk about this anymore.
All righty. Well, then tell me when you can talk about it because I really can't continue the way we're going with you expecting these things until we can finish this up. So I tell you what, I'm going to put things on hold, but you call me or text me or say, hey, I want to finish this up and find out what the schedule is, and then we'll talk about it. And I'm certainly willing to hear your point of view. So whenever you're ready, we'll resume all this. We'll take it off a pause and we'll finish up with something I hope will work. Love you.
Fine. That's right, hard. It's hard to be the bad guy.
Let's debrief this.
Come
and let's
on.
Process.
Okay. All right.
What was it like for you as kind of Heather, the guru of this podcast, watching the discomfort between mom, dependent and helpless and angry mom, and then Beth trying to be a good balanced daughter? What tension did you feel?
Well, I think if I was the older mom being confronted, I could still sense that Beth desired to honor her mom.
Very good. See, I like, let's list like five skills we can give your listeners that we just did.
Yeah.
And number one was that Beth said over and over again, even though mom said, you don't love me, you don't want to see me, Beth kept saying, I do, I do, I do. So number one, she conveyed love. That's a great skill.
Mm-hmm. She didn't change her messaging based on her mom's behavior.
She didn't get hijacked by her mom's victim mentality.
Yeah. And the guilt.
Victimization mentality is supposed to create guilt in the other person so they change their behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she threw out the victim bombs, and I felt them too. I went, oh gosh, I'm being a bad person here. But but even though you feel that, this is for your listening audience, even though you feel that, you can't respond to that because that's not what your values are. You just kind of take a few hits. You don't go, well, how could you say that? I don't know. But you just kind of go, anyway, mom, let's talk about doing it better. So you're kind of the adult. Mom was not being an adult. You have to take a few hits because you have a long game you're playing. Your long game is a better structured, loving relationship, which kind of forces mom to go out and make some friends and keeps you happy at home. So keep the long game in mind and don't let mom derail you or hijack you.
Mm, yeah. And I think, like you said, keeping the long game in mind, I could sense that she didn't feel the pressure she had to solve it today.
There you go.
That her goal was a bigger conversation of boundaries.
Yeah. Well, when she ends up, when mom finally says, okay, all right, what do you want? What were you thinking of? And you say, I'd like to have dinner twice a month, and I'd like to have coffee, you know, another twice a month. And I'd like for you to come over to the kids, see the kids once a week. Something that she can do that's within her parameters. And then mom goes, oh, that's nothing. You're starving. You go, that's kind of all I got. But let me help you make some friends. Is there a community group or whatever? But that's the second conversation.
Mm, super helpful. And I could even see, honestly, as I'm processing this, using all those same skills when I'm doing this with my kids, not getting hijacked by their emotional manipulation or trying to take a victim route or detour me from the boundary I'm trying to set.
You know what the hard part about all this is, I think? It's not when we're doing it with people that are manipulative. That's kind of, you learn that and you go, ooh, I'm smelling toxic here. It's when you're doing it to legitimate needs.
Mm.
And as a mom, you have to even say no to legitimate needs of a nice person that's not manipulative. Like a friend that would just like more time with you, or maybe a social club or a board thing or a church thing. And it's great people. You just have to say, it's just not my priority right now. That's harder because they're not being weird. They're just being nice, but you don't have the bandwidth.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
feel that there are definitely elements into what I'm doing that there are just a lot of really great people that want a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And I only have so much.
Mm-hmm.
And for us even to respond when people set boundaries, let's say a parent, an in-law or a parent sets a boundary with us that they're not able to be everything we have expectations for.
Mm-hmm.
I got some questions from people. I wish my kids' grandparents were more involved, or I wish X, Y, and Z of my parents. I wish they got on board with our parenting style, or I wish they were this. How do we respond when they're not?
Well, there's a great passage in James that says we don't have because we don't ask.
Mm.
Like, it's our responsibility to ask clearly for what we need and want from the people in our life. Otherwise, how do they know? And so it just means a conversation to begin with. Like, we'd like more time, and we, you know, our parenting, y'all are much more into, you know, uber discipline, and we're more into a balance of discipline and love and all this, and we'd like to change it. And so it's, you got to look at everything. As a psychologist, I look at every situation with humans as between mild and moderate and severe.
Right.
And a mildly non-functional adult parent will go, oh, we had no idea. Yeah, can we talk about it? We're reading this book on this. And they go, oh, okay, thanks for telling us. Mm-hmm. Now, that's mild. But then with moderate, severe, they get defensive and they get blamey and all that. And I always give everybody three chances. I don't think anybody should change a relationship because of one thing. So can we have another conversation? And it keeps saying, no, we're just going to be chaotic, you know, Disney parents that never put limits, or we're going to be really stormtrooper parents or whatever. We're not going to change. And you've been vulnerable and you pleaded with them and all this three times. Then what you do is, number one, is you determine how much access they're going to have and say, you know, y'all are there three times a week. And when the kids come back, they're on a sugar high because you let them stay up till three, or they're afraid because you were so hard on them, whatever. And you just say, we're going to have to start probably limiting a little bit of access to you guys, because we have to kind of redo things when they come back. And then you've gone beyond, you know, an invitation to a consequence. And they somebody in the moderate level will go, well, I want to see your kids more. I understand, but they're our charge. So if you can't somewhat agree with our parenting style, it's going to be less access, mom and dad. And then the moderate ones will go, okay, let me see that book. Okay. And the severe ones go, I don't care. Blah, blah, blah. And then you say, okay, well, we'll just kind of be around as much as we feel like it's feasible. And we love you, but you change your position. We really can't. It's our duty to not keep our kids around who don't have somewhat similar values of people around us. And you know what else you have to do? This is not to protect the parents. Then you have to find other functional parents around you that love their older people. And they got to have other kind of like non-biological grandparents that will be kind and wise and have time for them. You got to find friends in the church or in your neighborhood or in sports. But then give those kids what they need. It's really not about keeping the adult parents happy. It's about the kids need good stuff. So you got to replace them. There's an old statement that Jesus made when somebody said, your mother and your brothers are here to see you. And he said, wait a minute. He said, who are my mother and my brothers but those who do the will of God? Hmm. And Jesus was saying, we got to keep the biological family. We're all family people, but we can't keep that number one. He says, there's the spiritual family, which is even more important. And sometime when biological family fails you and lets you down and gets toxic, you've got to go to spiritual family and say, they're not related to me, but they function better as grandparents than my bio grandparents do.
Hmm. Yep. Yep. You hang out with enough people and you know that there are a lot of individuals dealing with some really hard situations and having to choose that, to choose non-biological grandparents. And for the one who's listening who has really struggled to make the choice, I don't know if you use the phrase cut off, but that's, you know, people say.
No, I don't like to use it.
I don't love it.
You know why I don't love it? Because the Bible doesn't love it.
Yeah.
God hangs in there with all kinds of crazy crap from all of us.
Yeah.
And he hangs in and he hangs. And then finally, sometimes he says, as C.S. Lewis said, okay, thy will be done. But until then, he puts up with a lot of stuff. Because he wants things to get better. I'd rather say I'm hanging in there, but in a limited level. Mm-hmm. I'm not cutting off unless they're shooting at me with a gun.
Right.
But
right.
Otherwise, I can't see them as much as they'd like. I can't spend as much time. I can't give my life access because I got to guard my heart. So I don't say cut off. I just say limit access.
someone actually wrote in and said, if you've given that limited access and you desire to rebuild the relationship, is that possible if you are dealing with someone on that severe range, like you talked about psychologically, rebuilding trust in a relationship with someone after creating those boundaries and limiting that access? Do they earn it, quote unquote?
Yeah. In my book, Beyond Boundaries, I talk about that. When you've had to set limits and you want to get close again, then you reengage with the person and you say, I want to try again, but I want to be as good a friend as I can be or a good adult daughter as I can be. But things have got to change on your end too. And if they say, I have no intent of changing, you're the problem. What they're saying is there's nothing new to trust. Love is free, but trust is earned. We've got to remember that. Love is free as you know, air, but trust is earned. So if they go, no, I'm going to stay the way I am, I don't have to change, then they're telling you, keep the boundaries.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to change my behavior. So you got to say, okay, I'll just want to let you know.
That's a quotable right there.
It makes it simpler, I think.
So I'm looking at all my questions. I feel like you've done such a good job that, I mean, there are some very specific ones that I've gotten. Like, if a parent or an in-law in front of you is over-parenting your child, how do you, in a healthy way, negotiate that scenario?
Well, you bring it to them in love and say...
Later, you don't handle it in the moment.
If it's running into a traffic, so the kids, you know... Yeah. I mean, if someone wants a kid to like take heroin, no, I stop it right then.
Right.
But in the moment, I don't want to disrupt my, again, I'm trying to protect my kid more than my parent because the kid's a vulnerable one in this situation. Mm-hmm. So I just let it go if it's like a loud voice or whatever. But at that same event, most family events, you can get somebody in the parking lot or the second bedroom when you're talking and say, hey, I need 3 minutes. Can you not do that again? Because it doesn't fit with who we are as parents. I really want to be close to you and stay aligned as parents. I do it at the event, not a week later, but I don't do it while it's happening either, unless it's an emergency.
It's good.
And then you judge it by the response. You know, Jesus said, you know, a good tree by a good fruit and a bad tree by a bad fruit. Well, if the person says, oh, bummer, sorry, thanks for telling me, they're telling you I'm mild. If they're moderate or severe, they'll go, how dare you? You were in my womb for 9 months. What are you talking about? Well, they're telling you, I'm not interested in changing. Then it's a different scenario.
So in that different scenario, where does someone go from there?
You present love. I care about that. I care about it. Again, I care about a relationship. You present your requirements. This is how I parent, and I want you to be consistent with that because that creates a healthy child. And if you're a Christian, you say, because I believe the Bible teaches that, you know, the Bible talks about the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I need nurture and admonition for my child that's consistent. If they're not a believer, you just say, here's what I found in the research about good parenting. So you give them, you know, reasonable reasons. So you've loved them. You've told them requirements. You give them the backup for the requirements, which is basically good research in the Bible. And then you say, I'd like to know that you'll agree with that. Yeah, you do the ask, like in sales. So will you agree with that, Mom? And then, again, they'll say either, yeah, it's a bummer because I'd rather give your kids, you know, sugar all day or whatever. And then, yeah, you saw my reason. So you're okay with it? And they'll kind of, it'll find me hard for them. Well, I don't feel like I'm a loving person. Well, I think you are. You can give them carrots. It's okay. And so then you get buy-in and then you just test it to see if they continue. And they probably won't. You got to kind of, remember, Mom, we talked about that. And then you gave them 18 Butterfingers. And then over time, it works out. Or you got those that are just offended and angry and trying to push past it. And that's when you have to say after two or three times of conversations, I'm afraid we're going to have to limit access somewhat because this isn't good for our kids. Love you, but let me know if you're open to doing it a different way. But we probably won't be around as much. But remember, before your listeners go, are you telling us to never see our parents again? Not at all. Those are the severe cases. There's probably, I don't know, probably the worst 5% of moms are like that. The other ones will kind of won't like it and then they'll push back. But ultimately, they'll finally go, well, I don't want to lose contact with the kids. You got to own your authority as a mom. You're not your mom's little girl anymore. You're a mom whose priority is protecting your kids. So you got to take authority that you got a little yard to protect here and be nice to your mom, but it's your yard.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the grandma who's listening, who is probably struggling thinking, but I've done this. I've walked this road before. I know the best way, and why do they think their parenting philosophy is better than my parenting philosophy? And she's struggling to watch her child parent in a way that she doesn't agree with, but that's her struggle.
Sometimes I just do the empathic route. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said, treat other people you'd like to be treated. I go the empathic route with that mom. When I'm working with the family, I work with a lot of families around the country, mm-hmm. and their family business is about issues like this. I'll just say to the grandma, well, think about when I was 9, if your mom would come to you and say, I disagree with everything you do. You got to do it my way. How would you have felt? And and a decently healthy mom will go, I wouldn't have liked that.
Right.
Right. And you didn't, and you stuck to your own values, and I'm a good person because of that. Do you see the difference? Mm. And if she's mild or maybe moderate, she'll kind of go, yeah, kind of sucks, but I get it. And a severe will go, no, everything's wrong. It's got to be about me. And that's when you know, sooner or later, you got to give up. And but after 2 or 3 times of pleading and begging and giving reasons and being kind, you got to say, until you change. I had a case one time, Heather, mm-hmm. where the mom was an alcoholic. The grandmother was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And this couple came to me and they said, you know, she's getting drunk at the restaurant. She's having 4 martinis. And our kids are seeing their grandmother they love fall down and awful stuff.
Yeah.
I said to her, and I gave her the same plan. And I said, you got to tell her after 2 or 3 times. It's been going on for about 1 year now. Our kids are really getting damaged by this. So if you don't stop drinking at restaurants with us, first they had told her, you know, I think you're an alcoholic. They went, no, I'm not. You're an alcoholic. She's totally in denial.
Yeah.
If you don't stop drinking at restaurants with us, you won't see your kids for 1 year. And they went and said they felt like they had the wrong counselor and I was a bad guy and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So we had to work through that. And then they kind of saw nothing else was working. They begged and pleaded. Mom said, I'm not an alcoholic. Everything's fine. You're overreacting. And she's falling down, slurring words. And they said, okay, you don't have to go to AA. You don't have to get well, but you got to curb your behavior with our children. And so she did it again. She tested the limit. They went out to a nice dinner. She had 4 martinis, fell down, slurred the words. The kids were traumatized. And the next day they called her and said, I'm sorry, the clock starts now. We love you, but we have to do this for our children. And mom called them everything in the book. And this is my grandchildren. You're being awful after I've done. And this couple I was working with, they cried and it hurt them. And they had to get a bunch of support around them because they felt like they were being bad. And they, you know, they had to answer the kids. Why the kids were saying, why did grandma not here? Well, because we're kind of in a timeout until grandma decides to not drink around you. At the end of that, the year went by and they asked her out to dinner again. Guess what grandma drank for dinner, Heather?
I'm going to think water.
And she has, to my knowledge, she has never gone to AA. She's never been an alcoholic, but she's drank nothing but water at the restaurants since then. That's the story.
This is the hope we give people. Yeah. And the just the encouragement that you can choose health for your own family and set a boundary. And it's ultimately up to the other person whether they, what
yeah,
they do with that.
You're being loving and helping. You're just asking for sanity. That's not a mean thing. It's a good thing.
Okay. I know our time is like pretty much up, but so many people asked about the holidays. I think they'll be mad at me if I don't ask. I feel like we could take everything you've told us and apply it to the holidays. But if you have any wise insight that we haven't covered when it comes to feeling like everyone wants to be with you, which I think is a great problem. Everyone wants to be with you over the holidays. There's so many expectations. How do we manage all of that in a season that is supposed to be joyous, but can be kind of overwhelming?
Yeah. I have four suggestions because there's probably a book coming out on this one.
Okay, good.
4 suggestions. One is ahead of time, front load your expectations.
Okay.
Ahead of time. Like, you know, October before it gets crazy. You and your spouse or whoever. Here's what we can expect. You know, here's how much time we got for whatever events. And we can, and there's times with the town that our family's just going to huddle. We're going to be together. Or we're going to go, maybe go to a church service that we like, but we can't entertain and do everything to everybody. Here's our expectations. Just set them out, put it on the calendar. Mm-hmm. Number 2, get your tank full before it hits. Don't be the giver. Be the person that is getting support and love and kind of connection and encouragement from other people so that you're not drained. So get your tank. Make sure you've got the people who are giving to you in your life around you during the holidays. That's the second one. The third one is that this is not the time to have the talk with anybody. You know, alcoholic Uncle Jimmy, you don't tell him why your you know, carving the turkey. I wish you'd stop drinking. No, you should never have the talk at the event.
Right.
Just do it in January.
Right.
Because it's not a good time and nobody's reasonable and everybody's sort of, you know, it's just a stressful time. So don't do it then. And the fourth is stay focused on what's important. If faith is important, then you go find people that love Jesus and you talk about Jesus with them. You take your kids and make sure you're getting the good things in your life or community events and taking your kids to go to help people who are homeless or in domestic violence shelters and or people with dads in prison. Go do the things that you love that fill you up. Those are the four keys.
And you've talked about filling up, tank full and filling up. You have a new book coming out. Will you take a minute and tell people about that?
Sure. It's called People Fuel. And the idea is that moms need energy. You need energy from all kinds of sources, from working out and good nutrition and sleeping right and positive attitudes and faith. But you also need fuel from other people, too. The Bible teaches it, that we need each other. It's not good that we be alone. And also the research says that people who have people that will build into them and love them and encourage them, they live longer, they have fewer medical problems, they are more successful. So the idea is that, all of us are into the biological now, like our bionutrients. If you don't have enough calcium, that supplement, you'll get like bone problems like osteoporosis. If you don't have enough iron in your system, you'll get, what's the blood disease?
Anemia.
And it's bad for us. Well, the concept of people fuel is that there are also relational nutrients. And instead of a supplement, it's a conversation that my brain gives to your brain and your brain gives back to my brain. And there are 22 nutrients, just like calcium and iron, but they're relational in four areas. We call them four quadrants to make them simple. We need from other people, some people quadrant one, we need them to be present with us. Just shut up and listen. I just need to know I'm not alone, that you get me, you understand. I don't need any advice. You know, husband-wife problems often women want connection and men want to give advice. You got to kind of train your husband. But we just need to be present with each other. The second was convey the good. Sometimes we just need somebody to tell us something nice about ourselves. Like, just let me know that I might have messed up with my kid and something's happened at school, but you think I'm a good mom and you like me and you want to encourage me. That's convey the good. We need that nutrient. The third nutrient we need is provide reality. Sometimes we need wisdom from others and truth and insight and perspective and feedback to help us make great decisions as a mom. And the fourth one is call to action. That's the fourth quadrant. And call to action means, you know, right now I don't need you to kind of tell me I'm a good person. I feel it right now. But I don't even know what to do in this situation with my job or with my schedule or with my kid or with my spouse or whatever. What are some advice steps you can give me? And if you put those together, all of us, every human on the planet, I believe, needs all four of those quadrants given to us, and we give them to other people every single week of our lives. And then we're healthy and we have great energy to be a parent.
Amazing. It's so needed in a world that's tending towards isolation. And I know as moms, we often don't know how to verbalize those four needs. So giving us words, so what to ask for, and being a good friend who listens and instead of just popping out the advice, saying, well, what do you need from me today?
There you go. There's a great question. And we have a relational nutrients card that moms are putting in their purse
or their
download on their smartphone. So you can wake up in the morning and go, what do I need today? I need somebody to identify with me. I need somebody to accept me, or I need some steps. So or you're at lunch with somebody and Cynthia's having an awful time. What does she need? We got the card for that. And you can get it on our website, relationalnutrients.com.
Fabulous.
Free, just download it. You got all 22 nutrients, four quadrants. Put it in your purse, print it out, put it in your smartphone. Easy.
Love it. From my process group, that is one thing I've really taken away is listening before I just jump in with what I think they should do and asking after they shared a lot of how they're feeling and what's going on to say, well, what do you need from me? So that's really helpful to have that resource that I can point people to, and I'll link it in the show notes for everyone.
Right.
John, this has been amazing. Truly, this is super, super helpful. A lot of mental and a lot of energy for moms going into these relationships and wanting to do this well and wanting to honor. And I think that you've really equipped us. So thank you for your time today.
Absolutely, Heather. And just God bless you if you're a mom. It's the hardest job but the most fulfilling job in the world. Keep up the good work.
Oh, we appreciate that.
I mentioned it in the intro, and I'm just going to point to it again. the relational nutrients that Dr. Townsend talked about, there is a link in the show notes. You can see all of those and how they're defined. And we actually do use this in our small group and in our life team. After you share an update on what's going on and how you're feeling, the group will ask, what do you need? And that is a safe place to invite others into your story, whether you need some presence, some encouragement, some direction, some truth, anything. And they're very specific needs. You can ask for containment. You can ask for identification. I have found them really, really helpful to get more in tune with what would be a way for my friends to be a part of my story. So if anything, check those out. I know this can hit on some tender parts of your stories. I'm going to pray over us. Lord, you gave us people, and people can both cause harm and they can be such a place of life and goodness. And I pray that we do come to you to help us through your Holy Spirit know where we need to be guarding our hearts more, and to ask you what that would look like, and to have these hard conversations in a way that may be hurtful, but ultimately good for everybody's good, that we don't end up being in relationships where we think we can fix people, or codependent relationships where we end up being overly impacted by other people's stories. And I pray, Lord, for wisdom and discernment in all of this. I know everybody's journey is so, so unique. And that's why I love that you give us people in real life who can know us, who can walk with us. And may we be those people who provide a safe space for others to share what's going on and to give them what they need and the presence or the encouragement that they need. And Lord, I thank you for Dr. Townsend and for this wisdom and for all those listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, yeah, definitely check out his resources. If you've never read Boundaries, that's a great place to start. The People Feel book is fantastic as well. It's been such a huge part of where I am today and the relationships that I have that give me life. Meet me back here next week. We have another great episode for you, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.